We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Jensen Arms takes this special time to salute the men and women in uniform who have answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve, as they have fought hard to restore peace around the world. American troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. This message is sponsored by Jensen Arms, where they're working proudly with this station to bring you this important message. That's Jensen Arms, who says keep your radio tuned right here.
Well, I stand here at the American Council, and I said, we're going to be talking about his book, Back to Tonic, subtitled The Private Journal of a Desperate Man. And basically, you have to understand that we live in a wonderful society. Most Christians live idealistic lives. There's probably no group of people anywhere in the world throughout all history that have enjoyed life in a comfortable society more than the people here in the United States. And of course, this is the problem that happens. How do you explain then that a loving God would allow a terrible disaster to take place? Why does God allow terrible, horrible things to happen to good people and good families? And of course, this is the story of Jane's son, Jacob, a young teenage boy, an idealistic boy, on a trip with his members of his church in Mexico, and there's a head-on collision, and he and several others of the young people in the car are killed. And then how do you face that? How do you understand that in your own mind? Gene, I'm going to let you go ahead and pick up the story, because I think you've done a wonderful job addressing a question that many people have and don't want to have to face, and hopefully won't have to face. But why does a loving God, a God who's omnipotent, who's able to control things, why does he allow terrible things to happen to good people? Google right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me on your show. And I have been on the railroad for over 40 years, so I am a little hard of hearing, so you may have to speak up a little bit for me.
All right, I certainly will. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, my book, Back to Tonic, is a story of mostly the life after the accident. It's a raw and honest account of both the human and the spiritual struggle that followed the tragedy of my son being killed while on a mission trip to Mexico. And I think many times we, as Christians, we put God in a box, and we see him from the point of view where we'd like to see him. And that is a God who is a giving God, a loving God. He takes care of us. And we like to make two piles. We make one pile where it's all the good things in the world, and we stand God right behind that. And a second pile where it's all the bad things in the world, and we put Satan or sin or whatever behind that. But the truth of the matter is if we have a almighty God, creator of all things, he actually stands between those piles and has control over both of them. So as human beings, when we see tragic things happen, it's difficult to understand how this loving God would allow that. And so we maybe at that point start to take on a new look at God. And for me, the struggle was compounded. In Mexico, I had a great deal of trouble with retrieving the bodies. I ended up having to smuggle the bodies out of the country they were cremated, and I had to put them in a suitcase and smuggle them out because of demands for money to sign papers. Just the idea of being in a third world country and seeing the way, you know, they look at death compared to how we look at it here, it just seemed so unjust. So you have that in your mind, and you come back to the United States, and you have initially a lot of support right up front. You know, people are giving you cards. There's a funeral. They're showing their concern. But after a while, that goes away. And, you know, there's the old poem about footprints in the sand where, you know, Jesus carries us through our hard times. And I truly believe that. And I think I felt that in Mexico and when I first came home. But at some point, we get put back on our feet. And when we get put back on our feet, that human condition comes in. And you just have to look and say, why? Jacob was such a promising young man. He was intelligent, smart, you know, he was athletic. He had a real desire for God. He had a relationship with God that was sometimes put me to shame. When I heard him pray, it was an ongoing conversation, not like a normal teenage boy, you would think. It was very, almost like as if, you know, he was an old soul and been here before. He had a desire to work in the mission field, and that's what led him to this trip in Mexico. And when he was killed, it was just difficult to grasp that. And so the question comes down is, what happens when the God that you worship and adore breaks your heart? A lot of times we say we have strong faith, and that faith really isn't known, the level of that, until it's tested. I thought certainly before the accident I had a very strong faith, great relationship with God, a family relationship. I served in our church. I was in leadership roles. Coming back, and after the initial shock had wore off and the reality that Jacob was no longer here, I found myself wanting to question God, and I could find no one to talk to, because many times I think Christians expect, especially leaders, but really all Christians, to be strong examples of faith. And I was really in no place to be a strong example of faith, but I had no one to talk to because I felt that that's what people expected from me. You have family and, you know, friends that are close to you, and they certainly offer help. My wife was a tremendous support, but sometimes you can't burden them with some of the things that you've gone through because it's just too difficult to put that on them. So you look for somebody else. And when the church expects you to be their example of faith, well, then you're not going to find anyone there. So I turned inside, and anger started to grow in me with God. How could he let this happen to me? How could he let this happen to Jacob, a boy, and the other boys, which were all great boys too, that were willing to serve and probably had the potential to do great things for the Lord and for, you know, our mission here on earth. So as that anger grew, I started to write a journal. And in that journal, I asked questions of God. And this journal took, you know, a good amount of years as I progressed through it. It took me 8 years after the accident to actually realize I needed to find some kind of help because I could no longer hold this within me. And I was introduced to a woman who kind of brought out in me a different perspective in Jacob's death. I had been viewing the world through the window of his death, and she helped me to see it through the celebration of his life.
Hold that thought, Gene. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
But this is a problem that many of us may face at one time in our lives. I think most of us are going to face it very soon. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain offers their heartfelt thanks to the courageous men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice to secure the blessings of freedom we enjoy here at home. Prayers of strength to those still in harm's way, and here's to a safe and speedy return home. That important reminder brought to you by John Taylor and the family and staff at Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain at 13027 County Road in Fort Lupton. For more information, call them at 303-857-4171. That's 303-857-4171 for Hydro Resources Rocky Mountain. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Well, Dr. Stan Harris, American Freedom Network, Dr. Dean Kaperik, and, of course, discussing the loss of his son. And, of course, 8 years goes by, increasing frustration, anger, hostility. All these things, I mean, why would God allow that? Now, I read the book. I specifically wanted to read it to see if it would be applicable for the program. And as I looked at what's going on in the world today, I think that we are facing some impossible situations here in America, situations that are going to shake the faith of many of the people who are listening to this program. And I think that Gene certainly approached and what he learned in his own struggle to try to explain why a good and loving God would allow something terrible to happen is something that may help many of you out there in the listening audience face what I fear lies ahead for many of us. Go right ahead, Gene. You were telling about this woman that you came upon.
Yes, this woman helped me change my perspective on how I viewed things. And when I start getting over, looking through the world through the window of his death, I was able to start to recognize, too, all the things I was angry with, even way more than I had ever expected. And as I went through the list, which she asked me to write down, I really did feel like some of the weight of it came off. But I had noticed even things with the way people respond to us. You know, we had one woman tell my wife and I that she was young and she could have another son. Well, we didn't want another son. We wanted Jacob. A lot of people will say, well, everything happens for a reason. And that actually, when you tell somebody that, if I was to believe it, I would search the rest of my life for a reason good enough to take and trade for the life of my son. But it isn't that helpful. Now, I certainly believe that God can use all things, and I certainly believe that God at times intends things to happen. But for a grieving person to tell them that, then set them on a search to try to find that reason, that's not comfort. That's not good advice. When we look at the story of Job and just how he dealt with things, we find his friends were best when they didn't say anything. And sometimes that's the best thing we can do. So as I went through and I started to recognize these things, I also come to recognize a different God. And I think before the accident, I saw God as the almighty being that was here to look out after me. And after the accident, I saw him as God Almighty, the sovereign God and owner of all things. And really the turning point for me in my life was when I really realized that Jacob had always been his. He was just on loan to me, and that he was returning to him. And in a parent's life, especially a Christian household, the most important thing anyone could ever want would be to know that when their children died, they would return to their creator. Jacob was definitely born again. Jacob knew Christ and understood the gospel. So in that, it was a very satisfying thing. But we still have the human aspect in it where we're left behind. So while we can celebrate that Jacob is there, we still are here. And you don't live with somebody and love them their entire life and not have it hurt. It's supposed to hurt. So that continues. And we as a people need to recognize that grieving people don't grieve and are done with it in 30 days. It is an ongoing thing. The wound heals, but the scar remains. And we have a right to grieve. You have a right to mourn a loss. And when we're too much of in a hurry, I think, in this country to move on, and as things happen, not just in my life, but in everyone's life, we need to step back a little bit and allow ourselves to heal instead of bottling up inside, because difficult things are going to happen to everybody. And to ignore that it bothers you, or to ignore that it really has a heavy weight that's put on you, all your thoughts and everything you do, just hampers you from doing anything else in life. I used to say that walking around in a state of grief was like walking in a different dimension, where I noticed everybody else, but few people understood or knew, could see what was happening to me. And it is a lonely place to be. My book really doesn't have answers. My book is a companion to people that are going through this. And one of the biggest things I hear back from people that read it and that have suffered through something is, that's exactly how I felt. I didn't know I was the only one that felt this way. It's good to know that I'm not alone. And I think we as a people need to let everyone that is in states of grief and things like this know that they are not alone. And we need to share in it, but sharing in it is a different thing. And I write in the book a story about author and lecturer Leo Viscalio, who judged the contest for the most caring child. And the winner was a four-year-old boy who, across the street from them, an elderly gentleman's wife had just passed. And the man was sitting out on his bench in the yard. And the little boy went across the street and sat there with him for a while. When he came home, the boy's mother asked him, "What did you say to the old man?" And the boy says, "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry." And sometimes that's the best thing we can do, is just allow and help somebody to cry and get these emotions out of us. We have a wonderful, great God, but we look at him too many times from earthly terms. And when things go badly here on earth, we don't understand how he can do this or how he can allow that. Even in the case of the accident, I mean, he knew it was coming. It wasn't like he was tying his shoe and looking the other way. He saw it. Not only did he see the accident, which was a horrible accident, he saw what was going to do to me afterwards, and he continued to allow it. And you would think, what kind of merciful God allows that kind of pain? And for our human minds, that's a difficult thing to deal with. And that's what took me so long to get to a point of recognizing that he has the right, because this is his creation. He has a right to see to the things he wants to see to, and pass on the things he decides not to. And I don't know that human beings will ever fully grasp that. But it was my coming to recognizing his sovereignty is what helped me most as I progressed through this. I have a stronger faith today than I ever had before. And I can say out loud today that this accident and the result of this accident had turned out to be one of the greatest things in my life as far as building my faith. Prior to that, I thought I was good. Looking back on it, I realized I had a lot of weak spots in my faith, a lot of weak spots in my life. And because of it, I know I truly know an almighty God who has power and authority over all things, even the life of my son Jacob. My book is, as I said before, it's a companion to people that are going through struggles. And the reviews I've received so far really highlight that.
Well, I think it's a wonderful book. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. But the average individual looks at the world from a logical point of view, from our logic, and not from God's logic. And that's the difference. God is different, has a different set of values, a different purpose, different goals. And until we understand that, why when a terrible tragedy befalls any one of us, why we're going to ask that terrible question, why would a good God allow bad things to happen to good people? And the thing is that from God's point of view, it's entirely different. That really is more or less the conclusion you came to, isn't it, Gene?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So basically, as you tell your story to people, what sort of response do you get?
Well, there's a lot of people that are angry about what had happened in Mexico and the greed there. And a lot of people want to talk about that. And while that was an important part of my story, it's not the story. The story is the relationship with me and God. And I challenge people to really take a look at themselves. I think the book, in its sense, it's all about me, but I think if you read it, you can relate it to yourself and challenge yourself. What do you really believe? I think that sometimes we put that off. We just kind of, we recognize there's a God, and we just kind of go along until something terrible happens, and then we maybe look at it a little bit more. Well, I mentioned in the book, you know, it's better to learn how to swim before you fall out of the boat. And I think that many times in our relationship with God, we haven't really got to that point yet. Atheists, some of the strongest atheists, are people who used to be Christians and believe that God had abandoned them, so they chose to no longer believe. And my point in anger with God was it would have been easier for me to walk away than to try to resolve this thing. But the problem for me is how do I choose not to believe in someone I believe in? It's not that easy. He's there. And my conscience would not allow me to turn away. So I knew that while I couldn't work out the problem, I couldn't understand this God that sat there and watched my son die, I needed to stay in the shadow long enough until I could figure this thing out. And figuring this thing out was actually giving it all to him. And as I continued on, I drew closer to him. But an atheist who says they no longer believe in God is very irritated at any mention of God. And the very fact of that is that they do believe in God. I mean, if you were to go to a restaurant and the person next to you ordered liver and onions and you didn't like liver and onions, would you demand they take it off the table and off the menu, or would you just not order it? Well, we wouldn't just order it, but when you say, I want to completely be out of here, that means you want no reminder of it. And that's what an atheist is doing, is they want no reminder of God because God continues to seek them, because God continues to love them. We have a very loving God, despite the fact that so many of us don't return that love. And when we see him for that, when we see the sacrifice that he's made for us, the little bit of hardships that we deal with here in this short time on earth will seem like nothing with eternity. And I've told people before, eternity lasts a long time. You should take this into consideration before you get to that point. We plan our retirements, we plan our vacations, we plan all kinds of things, but very few of us plan eternity. And to plan it, we really need to read his word and understand God's place in our lives.
Well, there's an old saying, and I often think of it when faced with a problem such as yours, and that is between God's plan in time and man's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. Between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And that was something that Doug Whitaker Chambers said in his book, Witness. I read it 50 years ago, and it's been with me ever since then. My wife, Barbara, read the yearbook, and she really was very, very taken with it and said, you know, you've just got to get the gene onto your radio program so you can share his experience with our listeners. And, of course, one reason we do what we do is because We knew we have listeners out across America, and I'm going to get Gene on our other programs as well so we can speak to our other audiences, because I think this is the time when everybody is going to have to, and I really do believe that we're moving into some very, very difficult times. We're all going to have to start asking those serious questions as to why. It doesn't make sense. Why would a loving God allow this? Well, again, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you're out there in the listening audience, when we get back from a break, we ask you to give us a call, and we'll take any questions that you may have. I'm sure Gene would be glad to answer them. But this is going to be a question I think that we're all going to have to face. Why? Why would God allow this? Why would God allow the things that he's allowing over in the Middle East today? And the things that are taking place in the Crimea today? And the things that are taking place in China today, and certainly in the adjacent areas? And why is he going to allow these terrible things that I think are coming to America to take place? We'll be back in a moment, 877-254-7524. Give us a call.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpeting, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. ABC Consulting at 6019 East 163rd Avenue in Brighton reminds us, parents today can expect their children will be exposed to drugs. Experts say pick up information on the problem, educate yourself and your youngsters to the very real dangers of drug experimentation. This reminder is sponsored by AB Consulting, where they're proud to be a member of our business community and happy to be involved in this community awareness effort. That's AB Consulting at 6019 East 163rd Avenue in Brighton. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. Fort Collins Radiator Shop honors our fighting men and women and all the veterans who have gone before you. We salute you and thank you for your sacrifice. Our prayers go with you and your families. This military tribute is from Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. That's 482-6783. A staple in our community for over 46 years. Family owned and operated, Fort Collins Radiator Shop on the air because they care.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Well, Dr. Dan, here is the investment guy putting Gene to work. His book, Back to Tonic. Back to Tonic. Gene, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website? How can they get copies of your book?
Yes, I do have a website. It's GeneKapura.com. That's GeneKiepura.com. And there you'll learn a little about Jacob and about myself. There's a place to contact me near the bottom. The book's available at the usual places, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And, you know, I'd greatly appreciate hearing from anybody that, you know, has a comment or complaint or anything about the book. You know, the book is, it's me. I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody but me. And in my dealing with myself, I come to recognize not only a different and better God than the God I thought I knew, I come to recognize a different and better me. I think too many times we, because we don't understand things, we try to take and change what God means what's relevant, especially in today's world as culture changes. And we think that maybe God is out of touch and we need to change it. The more we change, the more we move further and further from God.
Well, the thing is that it's so hard for people to accept something that is not logical from our human point of view. This is the difficulty. And so they need to understand that God looks at the world entirely differently than you and I do. And I think that was the thing that I got reading your book, that you have finally had to accept that God is different than we are, has a different set of values, has a different purpose, has a different goal, has a plan, but certainly we will probably, in our own finite outlook on the world, never understand God.
Right. God asked Job, where were you when I created all this? You know, and sometimes we're looking for explanations, and he'd ask the same things of us. Who are you? Where were you when I created this? What do you know about this? In our tiny minds, we have no concept of what's going on in his unbelievable mind. But the human condition, we want answers. We want explanations. And that quest for me was what drove me further and further in desperation. It was releasing that, releasing having to have an explanation, and seeing God as not only creator, but owner of all things. I could trust him. And as my trust grew back to God, I found that it was easier to comprehend the things that I didn't necessarily understand, because I believe in my heart that he does.
And really, there are so many things that happen that if you're looking for a logical explanation, they just don't make sense. The Holocaust, we were watching some films on that last night. And, you know, suddenly they're talking about this one town in Poland where they had a Nazi concentration camp. And they brought the people in every day and they just killed them. I mean, just 1,000, 2,000 people every day just simply killed, burned. And, you know, you, from the Jewish point of view, how can you possibly explain a loving God allowing this to happen? The terrible atrocities of the Second World War and even the First World War are unexplainable. And this is my fear, is that the terrible atrocities that we are about to witness are going to shake and destroy the faith of many people unless they understand what Jean has learned in his book, and in his effort to understand why God took his son, a wonderful, wonderful son, wonderful potential, and he simply died. And suddenly my wife read the book, and she said, Stan, I think it's an important book to get out, and so this is why we've had Gene on the program, why we'll have him onto our other programs, to try to get people to begin to examine what's going on, what has taken place in their own lives, and hopefully begin preparing for what I believe are very, very difficult times. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, don't be bashful. 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Eugene, what's sort of response have you, talked to people who've read the book? How did they respond to it and your message?
I've had a number of people that, after reading the book, really have taken a different look upon the way they view God. and realizing that we have maybe a casual acquaintance with God, or we just find him as being common in our life, that he's something we do in addition to everything else we do in our lives. And that challenges them to seek God a little closer. I've had some people who haven't been in church for a number of years reestablish a connection with the church. I've had people open up Bibles that haven't opened up their Bibles before. I've had people that have been hurt actually be able to open their mouths and explain, admit that they've been hurt. So I think as you go through the book and you see what I went through, and as you see how I developed in myself an honesty about myself and was able to admit these things, I think sometimes people are encouraged to also maybe do that. And I see a lot of that. I've had a lot of people that say I had no idea, people that knew me. Well, that was part of my problem, is because I hid all this. I mentioned in the book that I was a great actor. I pretended that everything was okay. And I think we have a lot of people that are pretending. And after reading the book, I think the reality hits them that they are just pretending, and they need to return to this and do something to get it out of the bank of their mind and hearts. So I see a lot of that type of reaction. Another thing is, God has given us, amongst many, many great gifts, he gave us two. You still there?
Yes, I am. Well, we have a caller, though. Who's calling in? Who's calling in?
Good morning. This is Ann again, and I'm calling
to say
that God gave us free will. And that means he gave us the power to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And when these tragedies happen, I think we have to look and see, where was the evil? And where can we fight that evil? Like Hillary Clinton defended against a 12-year-old female, two rapists, one 41-year-old and one that never got charged with it. But it really affected her life, and she's just recently come out about it, and it's all documented, and you can Google it. But there is evil, and I would say that there are people like Hillary Clinton that are pure evil, and there are, Obama is pure evil. And if we don't wake up, the devastation that will happen from this pure evil is horrendous. I wonder how your wonderful son passed away. You may not think it's important to us, but I'm always looking, because God gave us free will. Where did the evil lurk, and where can we fight it?
Well, it's amazing that you asked that question, because I was just about to go there.
Hold that thought, please, both of you. Hang on. We're going to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest, Dean Turek, his book, Back to Tonic.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. for your free consultation and no-obligation quote. Give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this morning, Eugene Kapura, and we're talking about his book, Back to Tonic. And, Gene, you were beginning to pick up on a different thought. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to start to talk about free will. God has given us, amongst many great gifts, two unbelievable gifts. One of them is free will. But free will sometimes is like giving a four-year-old a razor blade. We don't quite know what to do with it. And the consequences of that free will not only affect us, but affect other people. So when we have people in this world who are evil, their free will decisions also affect us. As in the case of my son, in third world countries, I've been to a few, they all seem to drive the same, recklessly. There are no laws. My son was in a van with one adult and six boys, and they were working their way through Mexico, doing their mission work. And a semi truck was passing another semi truck at a speed of nearly 100 miles an hour and hit the boys head on, dragging them for nearly 3/4 of a mile underneath the truck. And that is a typical way that people drive down there because they want to get to where they're going. It's a reckless way of driving, but it's their free will decision to do that, and that free will decision took the life of my son. The other great gift God has given us is salvation. So in spite of someone else's evil or someone else's or even our own evil, he has given us a way to return from it. So yes, I believe that there are evil people in the world, and they're evil by choice, and God has given them that ability to make those decisions. He's also given us the ability to not make those decisions, but we are all affected by the consequences. And it's sad to say, but it does happen.
I think that we've gotten so used to making sure our life is very convenient and that we have room for this, that, and the other, but we don't set our priorities right. And, to know, I've been to Mexico. There's a huge amount of lawlessness and graft there. You pay people to do things that it is not acceptable here. And if Americans don't stand up against the lawlessness and the graft that's going on now, we will be paying so severely. So I really appreciate your topic and my deepest condolences for your son.
Well, I thank you, and I fully understand the lawlessness down there. It was not just the Mexican people, though, because the American Embassy was part of my province down there as well, as they were the ones that insisted on a $15,000 payment before they would sign the papers to allow me to leave the country with the bodies. So it goes across the board. There's something has to be done, and based on everything I've seen in my life, I don't see a whole lot of change. There was a State Department investigation that was launched to see what the embassy had done, and while the embassy had claimed to do all kinds of things for me, offered transportation and lodging and things like that, they did none of that. They wouldn't even answer my phone calls. So they were reprimanded for that by the State Department. But about 8 months after that, a family from Wisconsin lost five people in a bus accident there, and the same $15,000 demand was put upon them.
Well, we know that there's graft here, too, and the State Department's one of the biggest graft takers of all. And they are full of graft, and they're under the communist dictates anyway. So, and it's been that way with the CFR and the trilateral. But we still have to expose it because there are a lot more of us than there are of them. And I'm sure it's a part of that $15,000 is going to go back to the Mexican government, because I've talked to a real estate agent who talked about how under the table you didn't get your property actually unless you gave plenty of money under the table. It was horrendous.
Well, it's unfortunate. I'm not that familiar with everything that goes there, but I do know that accident reports are changed if there's money involved. There was an insurance policy that was bought on the van, and when they found out there was an $80,000 money available, the accident with, report was changed to make it the fault of the driver of our van instead of the fault of the truck driver, so they could claim that money.
Yeah, but that's generally not the case here.
Pardon me? No.
That's not the case here. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
it's definitely a different situation.
Yes.
I've been to Haiti, and Haiti is similar, and, you know, there's just laws are today's different than others, and they look at Americans as Mexico or any third world country, probably for that matter, looks at Americans as an opportunity. And so,
right, we don't appreciate what we've created here, what's been created here by 400 years of blood, sweat, and tears. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, well, we just about through the hour. Would you have any parting thoughts you want to leave with our listeners about your book? Once again, our guest has been Gene Kapur. His book, Back to Tonic. What are your parting thoughts before we let you go?
Well, I would love for people to buy the book and read it, because it's both an educational thing for themselves if they're not grieving or struggling in their faith or struggling in anger, to have an idea of others who are. Because I think one of the things we are lack in this country is that we aren't necessarily that noticeable about other people that struggle. Now, we do have some people with great hearts, and we have some people that just don't have a clue. And if you're not struggling, I think you ought to read it so you can understand those who are. But if you are struggling, I hope that you read it and know that you aren't alone, that there are people that care. And most importantly, even the God that you think has abandoned you cares. He continues to pursue you. He continues to try to draw you back, but doing it under his terms, not ours.
Amen to that.
And I write when I sign a book, I sign it, God really is good, and I believe that.
You have to, and I think we're all going to need that thought in the coming months. I guess Ben Gene Kapur, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. I will call you and try to get you onto our other programs, because I think it's a message that needs to be accepted. People have to understand that between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference between man's plan and time and God's plan and eternity. There's an infinite quality of difference, and we can't understand God. We never will understand him, and if we try to and hold him to our standard, then, of course, there's going to be a good problem. Anyway, God bless you, Gene. Thanks very much, and we'll be talking to you shortly. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company.
We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed the interview this morning. I debated putting it on, but I think it's an important message because I really do believe that we are going to be facing some unexplainable tragedies in America, and they're coming, and people are going to need their faith in God to survive. And our hope is that many of our listeners out there, if they already know the Lord, the program strengthen their faith, and if they have had a personal tragedy, they've turned away from the Lord, maybe they're not Christian. At least they'll begin to look into the promises and the hope, which is the only hope that I know of in the world today, that the story of the gospel is true. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we do 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. And that is covering various subjects and bringing people into a personal, hopefully, into a relationship with our Lord. Now, a lot of times these programs have nothing to do with God, but in the background, that is the common theme behind everything we do. Because we're not simply here to entertain, but perhaps to prepare and to get people ready for what I fear are very, very difficult times. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you're in a position to help financially, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you believe in what we're doing, but you're not in a position to help financially, and I know an awful lot of people are having problems, very real problems, then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we truly are in the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And whether there's going to be a major catastrophe, whether it's an EMP attack, whether it's a financial collapse, whether it is Planet X, whether it's a massive epidemic of some sort. I do not know, but I do know that God is going to bring his judgment on America, because when a nation turns against God, God turns against that nation and brings some terrible, terrible things. And I do believe that God is just, and that his justice will not sleep forever. And I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said that God, who talked about the fact that when a nation turns against God, why, he said, I tremble for my country. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice is not going to sleep forever. I was just reading a book, starting to read it, about an event that took place in the 1300s, where 1/8 of all of the people of Europe died. 1/8 of all of the people of Europe died between the disease and